All right, you're listening to WMEC 90.5 FM, College Park. Yeah, it's 10 p.m. It's a Thursday. If you are still here, you know what is up. You know what show is on. It is Moral Hazard on WCFM 90.5. Your break from the music, from the Strokes and the Beaches and all those other musicians that you get so sick of. You know what you want to hear? You want to hear a college student yell about things. That's what you really want. All right? You are listening to WMEC 90.5 College Park. I'll say it again. Shout it from the rooftops. Welcome to Moral Hazard. Welcome again. We've been doing this for over a year. You should know by now. I'm your host, Stephen Fung. And let me do my spiel, okay? You know, normally we haven't been doing the spiel. Today's a special episode, so I'm going to do the spiel. The new year is upon us. It's 2026, okay? Crocs are out. Complaining is out, looks maxing is in, 6'7 is out, it's new, the world keeps changing. Your gym New Year's resolution has failed 4 months ago, okay? But you know what does stay? And that's Moral Hazard. I made a New Year's resolution this year that I would continue to do the show I signed up for, and I've mostly kept it. All right, I've been out, I've had fun on my Thursday nights instead of being here. That's my sin, and I apologize. But the world keeps moving, and you can go it alone. But if you want to find some solace in the cold, gray landscape of 21st century America, where your money's worthless, you're unemployed, and you have student debt, Moral Hazard's here for you. And we talk about stuff, mostly business, economics, policy, markets. Sometimes we talk about the SGA. This is not financial advice. You are free to listen and gamble your inheritance on a random stock that I talked about. We're live from the Heritage Foundation studio. Thank you again for your donation to WMUC, and you know it was named for Moral Hazard, so we get to shout it. No one else shouts at the Heritage Foundation on the station. I don't know why, but SGA, the SGA election cycle. We've covered it before. And before that, and before that, and we are covering it again now. In the past month, because of developments in the SGA, UMD has been forced to grapple with a sort of power vacuum and a lot of uncertainty in a very unprecedented time where both parties have been disqualified. And yesterday, I was able to interview an anonymous source affiliated with Justice UMD, one of the parties that was disqualified, and they leveled some accusations against the SGA's election commission. I was going to get on here. I was going to run this episode just talking about those allegations, talking about my anonymous source, but I was actually able to get someone who could really speak to what's going on, and that is the SGA's head election commissioner, Leonard Fohman. Leonard, you can introduce yourself.
Yeah, great to be here. What a wonderful intro. Excited to talk about SGA elections.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about whatever. I'm going to be honest, Leonard. This isn't a very serious show. We make a lot of jokes here. I make jokes into the vacuum. I don't get a laugh because it's on radio. I was thinking to myself before this interview, the funniest thing I could do was to bring you on, the head election commissioner, and just not talk about the SGA at all. But we're gonna talk a little bit about it. All right, I've got a sliver of journalistic integrity, like buried beneath levels of irony and like laziness. You are the head election commissioner for the SGA.
Yes.
What does that job mean? What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the head elections commissioner position, so it's appointed by the student body president, confirmed by the legislature, and overall the responsibility is to supervise all types of elections that happen in student government. Usually that's the one that happens in the spring.
There are more elections?
Well, in the bylaws, we have the ability to, so we have a general election, there's also special elections, there's runoff elections. Just depending on the situation, but normally it's just the election that's in the spring, and being head elections commissioner, part of it is also overseeing the Elections Commission itself, which is composed of four members.
Yeah.
Each responsible for a different kind of component of making elections happen. We're also advised by the SGA's judicial branch advisor, and so part of my job is also corresponding with him.
Got you. Okay. And to clarify, the only positions that are elected positions in the SGA are the ones that are typically held during the SGA election cycle?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's usually one election in the spring, and that elects the legislature and then the three executive positions.
Got you. And so in the past month, we had that spring election. That was what? What was that? March 28th to April 1st? Something like that? Ballpark?
March 30th, April 1st?
March 30th, April 1st. Oh, it's 2 days. Okay.
Yeah.
There were only two parties running, right?
There was two parties running and then also two independent
candidates. Two independent candidates. Okay. And those parties were Justice UMD and they were Roll Terps.
Yes.
I think it was like a week after elections, Roll Terps was disqualified from the entire election cycle. The entire ballot was wiped off.
That's correct.
And then it was a week or two after that Justice UMD, the other party, was also wiped off the ballot for something. We'll get into that. Some things.
Yeah.
That left only two people running for positions. Those two people were the representative, someone running for representative of the Smith School and someone running for representative of the Information Science School, right?
That's correct.
How many ballots were cast? Do you know this? How many ballots were? It was like 3,000 or something like that?
Something around that in total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is like ballots, you know, like just down the list. So it was like, you know, they voted for the president, they voted for whatever.
Yeah.
Because of the disqualifications of those 3,000 or so ballots, only 68 votes ended up, like, counting, quote-unquote counting.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And to clarify, the people who were elected, the Smith rep and the InfoSci rep, because of disqualifications, they were the only candidates remaining.
That's correct.
And so, I'd like, you know, you can get into this. What is the plan exactly moving forward with all of these positions vacant?
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone on campus should have received an email entitled Update on 2026 Student Government Association Elections. And in that, we laid out a plan. And by we, I don't just mean me. It was a collective effort between the Elections Commission, so myself, a member of the Governance Board, the Chief Justice, our SG advisors, and members of the Division of Student Affairs Administration. We all came together over the course of two meetings, and we planned out this plan that kind of avoids a lot of like the potential conflicts of interest of leaving it up to other individuals in essentially hosting a special election in the fall with, again, the objective of filling those vacancies, because you can't have an SGA with only two elected individuals.
Okay. You don't have to, like, literally name them. That's
yeah.
But who are the, like, SGA advisors? Are those professors? Like, what exactly are they?
Yeah, absolutely. That's an excellent question. So there are two staff members who work for the Division of Student Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
They have other responsibilities. They're both of them happen to be working in SORC, in the Student Organization Resource Center of STAMP. And yeah.
So they're not students?
They're not students.
They're not students. No. Okay, got you. So UMD faculty.
Yeah. UMD staff, yeah.
Of the Governance Board and of the Elections Commission, you guys are all on appointed positions from this year, or is it previous year?
It's from, so every year normally there's a new, like, had a new Elections Commission, a new Governance Board. So yeah, I was appointed to my position, appointed by the student body president and then confirmed by the legislature.
Gotcha, and that was Dhruvak Marani?
That was Dhruvak Marani.
Gotcha.
And that was in May of 2025.
Gotcha. And look, you're going to have to give me grace here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not entirely, like, well-researched. Look, I will tell you my two greatest weaknesses, if, you know, you can tell me one of yours. I am horrible on an interpersonal level, right? Mm-hmm. I'm incredibly dumb on an interpersonal level. I've never even hugged a girl, okay? And then I also am lazy. So I believe you ran for SGA last year.
So I've been in SGA since September of 2023. Mm-hmm. So I've been in SGA for a little bit.
Yes.
I started out as a first year's representative, served that from September until May of 2024. Mm-hmm. Then I got elected to be the behavioral and social sciences representative for the College of BSOS.
Yes. Oh, then, okay. That was 2024 you got elected?
Yeah, 2024. Okay. And then I also kind of got elected after everyone was seated, I got elected to the legislative leadership in the legislature. And so I was the kind of vice speaker, speaker pro temp, if you will, for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran again in 2025 for the same seat. Didn't win.
Okay.
But ended up then getting appointed and confirmed to head elections commissioner.
Got you. And were you on Marani's, whose party were you on in that election?
Yeah, I was on the for the one that I lost?
Yes, the most recent one.
Yeah, the most recent one. I was on a two-person ticket. It was entitled The BSOS Effect.
Mm-hmm.
It was with Isha.
And she is one of the justices.
Yeah, so okay. We both ended up not winning. But we were running for our same seats, so she was also a BSOS rep,
mm-hmm.
running for the same seats. It was small ticket, really focused on just promoting the college and representing the college as much as possible. But
okay, so in that, you weren't, like, gunning for the big seat. You were going for, like, the same position you had before, BSOS rep.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I want to talk about, like, what has been going on with SGA recently, because I've... By hook or by crook, I managed to get a hold of the SGA minutes. You guys don't have it on the website anymore, but I found it. There was multiple attempts, or at least one attempt, to vote to change the constitution of the SGA because of these results, because of the disqualified candidates.
Right. Yeah. So it just so happened that kind of the end of this election cycle ended up kind of corresponding or ended up kind of aligning with our omnibus time, which is this period at the end of the semester, even though we can amend them at any point mm-hmm. now, we've changed that, but usually at the end of the semester is when we kind of do a voterama of, like, so many different amendments at once to mm-hmm. the bylaws that, you know, just happens to come about. And so this year, the end of the elections and the circumstance that we're in ended up coinciding with those amendments to our bylaws.
Right, and so one of those was, one of those proposed amendments was effectively, like, gutting the policing power of the Elections Commission over violations, right?
I think that was proposed. I'm not entirely sure, like, how it was worded. Mm-hmm. I need to check that. But
it would have prevented you all from disqualifying candidates unilaterally, at least on a unilateral basis.
I think that might have been one of the proposals. I'm not sure if that one actually got added. There's still... The state of omnibus hasn't finished yet.
Right, no, it hasn't been added yet. It's something that will be voted on.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. Does this concern you on, like, on a greater level for the SGA that the SGA itself is trying to kind of remove the own guardrails that they had placed?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely concerning. I know that disqualification, you know, it's a terrible thing. And no, I think, Elections Commission goes into an election thinking they're going to disqualify anyone,
mm-hmm.
but we have to have that ability if it comes to that point. You know, mm-hmm. we have in our election rules, and I know they're 37 pages, so it's a lot to
right.
read.
Right, yeah, no, I'm not reading all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's nightmarish. It's nightmarish to read through, but we have a lot of different, like, classifications for different kinds of offenses, and mm-hmm. all that is really to protect, you know, fair and democratic election processes. And in the most severe category of, like, bribing individuals to vote for you, passing out food, passing out alcohol, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. If that's happening and we're not able to effectively sanction that kind of behavior,
mm-hmm.
it's going to continue and it's going to end up skewing the vote and things like that. And so,
got you.
That's, yeah.
So, and I'm sure you've answered this question before, but if the UMD electorate was able to decide, you know, with their vote,
mm-hmm.
if these things mattered to them, would you consider that, like, at least more democratic of a way to handle these things?
In terms of whether to keep...
In terms of, you know, who they want to be running the SGA, who they want to get elected.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, elections don't work unless... folks are voting. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the kind of solutions that's been put out there is to have a referendum about what's to happen next. And I think that is a democratic solution. Mm-hmm. But I think also voters need to be fully informed about the context of how we got here. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just, you know, big, bad, mean, scary elections commission, discarding 2,000 plus votes and, you know, putting us in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. We really had, obviously, with any violations case, we have evidence that's presented to us, violations. We go through them very methodically and determine whether, you know, what's been alleged actually occurred. Like, we go through this process. And so we wouldn't have come up with the decision we came up with if the evidence didn't suggest that.
Okay. So you mentioned, and I'm not, look, yeah, I'm not trying to do gotcha.
Oh, no, you're right.
You mentioned earlier, just now, yeah, that it's important that the UMD electorate understands the context of how you guys got there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thus far, we have not received any, like, public release of what the nature of these violations were beyond the title. Is that something that the SGA is at least weighing putting out, or is it something that it's just completely off limits?
Yeah, so at the moment, kind of per the advisement of our advisors, and our advisors, they have a lot of different kind of manners in advising us. Like, sometimes it's kind of like, oh, a suggestion, a recommendation, but sometimes the advisement's like, no, you guys are kind of stepping into, like, legal territory of, mm-hmm, what you're about to do. And the thing is, with releasing violation reports, there's obviously the federal education, forgetting the rest of the acronym, FERPA.
Yeah, FERPA. Yeah.
On, like, privacy, mm-hmm, federal education regulations on privacy or whatever. And there's a lot of things in there about releasing personal identification,
right,
PII information. And so if the reports contain that, that could potentially lead to doxing of students, and them kind of getting a lot of unintended consequences just from an SG election.
So, but at the same time, Justice UMD, one of the parties that was, yeah, disqualified, has recently, I mean, literally like yesterday, yeah, gotten very public about their gripes with this situation. And part of that is the lack of transparency.
Yeah.
Is there any way that, you know, you guys, I mean, it seems that Justice UMD, I don't want to put words in their mouth. Mm-hmm. They didn't respond for comment. I mean, maybe their DMs or not. They don't check their DMs. But is there a way that, you know, with their approval, you would be able to release exactly the evidence that led to their disqualification?
So they, our policy is that, this is in the rules, that, mm-hmm, once a decision's made by the Elections Commission, every single candidate that's being affected by the decision has a right to get the decision, full out. Evidence, reasoning, rationale. Mm-hmm. So that entire ticket, including affiliates, including candidates, all of them have the decision.
So you're saying so that they, Justice UMD, the moment they so please, yeah, could make public the reasons they were disqualified.
100%. Yeah.
Same with Roll Terps. I think Roll Terps went quiet, but Roll Terps could also come out public if they had a problem with this, if they wanted the UMD electorate to understand what happened. They could just release the files. Not like, you know, but release the files.
No, no, no.
They
could, so we wouldn't, I want to be clear, we're not encouraging that, but there's no rule in the election rules that say that they can't do that.
Right.
My only caution to them would be like to think about the repercussions again to doxing of those students potentially if personal identification, personal identifying information is not like redacted from,
I see,
phone numbers,
I see,
names, things,
right,
like that.
And so that kind of leads into the interview I conducted, yeah, yesterday. That, yeah, is an anonymous person affiliated with Justice UMD. Anonymous for the time being. I think they're trying to, like, I don't know, get approval or whatever. Mm-hmm. But essentially, this person, you know, it was a phone call with them. I was able to, I could corroborate that they are affiliated with Justice UMD. Yep. And I was able to corroborate some things. But everything I'm going to say has not been corroborated. So you can, you know, you can, yeah, fall back on that. Yeah. And to clarify, I did the legal thing. I'm pretty sure I'm allowed to talk about this. One of the major accusations that Justice UMD kind of leveled against, mm-hmm, the Election Commission is that these decisions were, in effect, retaliation. for things including that they had proposed replacing election commissioners, restructuring the SGA, and alignment with the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement, BDS. Do you have a response to this? Or, you know, we can talk about something else.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have a response to it. I really don't know where that is from. I'd be quite interested in knowing kind of where that claim came about. I feel like I'm fairly in touch with things in SGA, and no one on the Elections Commission has ever brought any of that up before. Never heard this up until you mentioned it. I've never heard this claim before. There's, again, we're from the judicial branch. We're not trying to play politics with SGA. We're very much, what do the rules say? If there's a little bit of like inconsistency, then we interpret it or whatever. But that's what we're here to do. We're really not here to like have any kind of view on BDS or on divestment or anything like that. That's not a responsibility. And in fact, I feel like if we were making statements about that, that would potentially compromise our impartiality.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I mean, you know, one thing that I do want to kind of get back to is the aspect of replacing election commission seats. Yeah. The source alleges, I mean, the files have not been released, that one of the pieces of evidence used to for the violation that got Justice UMD out was actually a conversation about, a private group chat conversation about replacing election seats. I know you don't, I assume there's something that's keeping you from talking about like what actually happened, but would a private group chat conversation between members of Justice UMD constitute early campaigning? I believe that was what the violation was, right?
Yeah, so the violation was preemptive. I was campaigning prior to the official start of campaign.
And would group chat communication, you don't have to say it was group chat communication, but would private group chat communications about policy views they would have, were they elected, would that count as early campaigning?
So, obviously, there's a lot of things to preface with my response. First of all, Elections Commission is never one person. It's a group of five people, five different perspectives, and so there's never the case of one commissioner speaking their mind, everyone just, you know, instantly agreeing with them and like just making that decision. Our decision making processes are intricate, complex, depending on the case, and so, you know, that's one thing. Another thing, and in that vein, I can't make a hypothetical ruling on the spot on how we would rule on something, because there's a lot of, again, moving pieces. But simple policy views inside of a group chat would not, unless they're somehow tied to electoral activity that would impact the election, I would say that that's not a violation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we've got to wait for the files to come out.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of looking at it, but I would say that I can say yes or no, there wasn't, policy views were not the issue in this case. It was very much tied to the election.
To election. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, look, I'll give you this. Yeah. Justice UMD did not respond to a request for comment. Yeah. And so, you know, anonymous source, look, man, you gotta, I gotta see the files, man.
And they can't, again.
Right, yes, they can.
I'm not encouraging or discouraging. Obviously, my caution is student privacy, student well-being, student wellness on any ticket, and I would be saying that whether I'm on the judicial branch or not, but nothing is stopping them from releasing these files.
Fascinating. Okay.
And I think if they were to release them, a lot of maybe their messaging on their social media may be changing, because people might see a different side.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, perhaps my source wasn't that credible.
I think that it's honestly what information they were given. Maybe they saw, there's a lot of different ways of seeing things sometimes, and sometimes you see.
Well, they claim to have access to the, like, actual files.
Yeah.
But so, you know, we'll move past this then.
Yeah,
because, I mean, this is getting nowhere if I'm talking about something that, you know, seems to be, you know, a bit confused.
But that is, I'll be honest, that is what a lot of students are currently experiencing. You're not, the obviously, the only UMD student. There's definitely an information asymmetry between what the Elections Commission knows, what candidates know, and then what the rest of the students are given.
I see what you mean.
Students are just given that public violations tracker with that.
And all they see is that, you know, 2,900 of us voted, and our votes didn't count.
Exactly.
So I wanna talk about, because I know I said I was gonna talk about, we're running low on time. I wanna talk about this, how, you know, all of this has transpired and how this has like affected you personally.
Yeah.
Right? Because I wanna be very clear about this, and I've been very clear on this show before. We are all students, you know. There have been calls for your removal, I believe. Just talk to me about your personal experience about this. You know, whether it's like, you know, have people reached out to you personally, kind of bothering you about this, like the stress of having to deal with something like election that people usually don't care about. Like, how does this feel for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in SGA for 3 years, so we've had all different kinds of debates, experiences, and everything like that.
I remember there was that table incident like 2 years ago.
There was the table incident. There was the Celsius incident.
Yes, I remember those. Yeah.
And you know what? Me and my advisor were talking about it this summer before all this started. We were like, the one thing I want is a clean election.
And you didn't get it.
it's still out of reach, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
I would say I'm kind of keeping in mind that it's a student government election. I take it seriously because the candidates take it seriously. You know,
Right. They've
put in a lot of effort. I don't want to take that away from them at all. We've seen a lot of very excellent, proactive campaigning, especially from both tickets. I think the use of social media this year has definitely exploded. The use of reels, that kind of thing. So,
well, look, I'll say I wasn't a fan of Rolltrip Peyton Steinberg. I wasn't a fan of his tie length at the debate. I don't know if you saw that. It was his tie length. He showed up with like a really long. I will tell you, that is the only reason I started talking about the SGA was because I was laughing at his tie length on the episode.
Maybe that's the amendment we need to focus on. Dress code during a debate.
Yeah, but like, so how has this like affected you personally?
I mean, my first again, for me, it's not, you know, not a crazy big deal. Obviously, I thought my election season would be done now. I thought, you know, I thought I'd be inaugurating our new folks as we had planned on Monday. I thought that was kind of going to be it. But it hasn't been crazy stressful. I mean, there have been some kind of contentious moments, some moments of uncertainty for sure. Some like less than flattering comments, a lot of, you know, maybe things said, you know, in group chats and things like that, that are litter than shout. So it's,
but you're staying strong.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're staying strong. Honestly, my priority is the rest of the Elections Commission and the rest of the judicial branch.
I think
our safety and our well-being is very important, as is the tickets and the candidates in this case as well. Everyone's well-being is very important. SGA can sometimes go from a nothing show to an everything show.
So there is one last thing I want to talk about, because I know you have to get going soon.
Yeah.
Going back to the anonymous source, he expressed that Justice UMD has the full intent, if they had to go to special election next year, they weren't able to change the Constitution, that, what, you know, by hook or by crook, they will be in the election. If at the same time, the way that the SGA is currently structured, all affiliates of Justice UMD will not be able to run.
That's
correct. Will there be, do you perceive that if that were the case, the Election Commission would investigate if candidates had ties to Justice UMD in the next election?
I don't know if we would go. I can't speak for what the Elections Commission, how we're going to proceed next semester. I mean, I will say in our rules, we do have a clause around collaborating with unregistered affiliates. And that's a fancy way of saying, the people you work with who are helping you with the election, you have to make sure that they're registered with the commission so that those folks consent to our rules. Because if you don't consent to our rules, technically you can like create a bunch of loopholes, do a lot of things that influence the election without actually being accountable. So I feel like
what counts as being an affiliate?
Yeah. So an affiliate is basically when you're, contributing to a campaign without running. So that includes like helping out with organizing, helping out with, it's like speaking on behalf of the ticket, any kind of activity like that.
So during the election cycle, I came up here and I talked about both candidates, and I expressed, you know, a personal preference towards Justice UMD. I'll be very transparent with that. Would coming onto a radio show and talking about who you think is the correct candidate, does that count? Would that make me an affiliate?
I wouldn't say necessarily, unless like the ticket coordinated with you and you, like there
has to be like the other direction.
Exactly.
Okay.
If there was a link between them and you, and somehow, you know, potentially in a group chat, like there was coordination between, you know, this person with WMUC access is going to make a big statement about supporting Justice UMD. Like that's that, and they're not an affiliate. That would definitely draw concern from the commission. I will say, though, it's our rules are not that complicated. We have
you said 36 like, pages.
36 pages, but it boils down to something very simple.
Yeah, it's mostly fluff.
We have a week of active campaigning.
Yes.
In the voting period.
Okay.
As long as you're sticking to all like the out and about, passing stuff out type campaigning during those like that week and those 2 or 3 days, you're literally fine.
Okay.
It's when things happen outside of that period. That's a problem, because we have like passive campaigning, which is getting ready to campaign, which is like reserving social media names, purchasing things, meeting with members of your ticket. That's all fine. But as soon as you start like going out there and ballot, like asking people for votes and, you know, doing all these things that impact the election, that's when there's a problem.
Gotcha.
Because you're kind of getting an advantage.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And like, I know you got to go soon. Really quick.
Yes.
I want to get a little bit of you into the show,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
You play video games? What do you do? What do you do in your free time, man?
You read
books? Like, what is up with you?
I watch a lot of
You watch TV?
I watch a little bit of TV. Yeah.
What do you watch? What are you watching right now?
Oof.
I wanted to get into Euphoria. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've heard good things about Euphoria.
Did you see the trailer for the new season? Season 4?
I saw like little bits.
Oh, dude, it looks so
cool. I'm like
cool.
A chronic Instagram scroller.
So, okay,
like,
so what are you watching?
I'm a huge fan. I know it's off now. It's been off the air since like 2019, but I still love the reruns of The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory?
I promise. I'm not
what
a narcissist.
What is wrong with you? You watch Young Sheldon too?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh.
Is that bad?
Is that what all SGA people are like?
No,
you guys watch
Big Bang Theory? No. We're all different.
Do you say Bazinga?
I don't say Bazinga.
Have you said Bazinga as a joke?
I have not. No. I like it because it's funny. Modern Family. Those two shows.
Modern Family? Oh, I couldn't stand Modern Family. I tried to watch it. I can't.
Bro, we need to get you some comedy.
The only sitcom I've ever watched like in my adult life is The Office. I really didn't like it that much either. Like, I used to be an Office fan.
What makes you laugh, though?
What makes me laugh is getting up in the morning, scrolling Instagram, and watching, like, AI Tung Tung Sahur, right? We watch the real... No, I'm kidding. I like stand-up comedians. I'd never do it.
Oh.
I'd never do it. I've been watching a lot of movies.
Ooh.
Yeah. Are you an A24 guy?
A24?
Have you seen the drama? You've got to watch it.
The drama?
A24. Okay. It's on Robert Pattinson, Zendaya.
It's not on my list.
Zendaya? Ooh. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Have you seen a movie recently? What movie you watched recently?
What movie have I watched recently? Oh, I need to stop watching them at 11 p.m. because I start
because you don't even remember it.
I watched Sinners. Sinners was really
I've never
good.
Seen that. Give me a review. Give the listeners a review of Sinners.
Oh my God. Michael B. Jordan. You guys, if you have not seen Sinners. Also, not even, okay, putting aside the amazing cast and like the script and the plot, the music.
The music of Sinners.
It's like it's really good.
I really have not given it a shot, and I feel like I need to. It won something.
It was definitely Oscar something or other. But yeah, the Blues. Like even if you guys have Spotify, like they have their Sinners playlist.
Yeah, I don't play music on here. I don't even know how to like do that. There's like paperwork I have to fill out if I play music. I don't want to do that.
That's too complicated.
Yeah, that's why I do the radio show because I can't
that's
do paperwork.
Right. That's right.
Oh man. I need to see Sinners. That's on like HBO Max or something.
Something like that. Sinners is good.
Oh man. So you don't play video games? No. Do you go out, you drink, you have fun, you party?
Yeah.
You party? Okay.
Yeah.
What is the all right, rank the bars at UMD and then I can let you go. I know I'm keeping you over.
Wait, that's what's going to get me the most hate, though.
Like, Whoa, if you say turpin number one, they're gone.
Screw the...
You're in other files.
Oh, my God. screw the election.
Yeah. Hate for no. Okay, well, you can say what your number one is, at least.
I haven't even been to all of them. Which one
have you not been to, Ben's?
I don't even... I haven't been to... I've been to Looney's.
You've been to Looney's?
Looney's is all right. Too many freshmen.
The Looney Tuesdays has gotten... You know, you're a junior. Yeah. You remember, like, old school Looney Tuesdays. You could walk, you could breathe. It's gotten so bad this year.
Yeah, it's, like, packed, and occasionally they just, like, turn off the music, and then you just see, like, a sardine in there, packed with, like, 1,000 other people, and you're just, like, either turn on the music, or I'm, like, leaving. You know how many bars they have covers? You need to go to College Town where there's no cover.
I mean, you gotta have cover. There's like 50,000 people here, and they all have their stupid fake IDs, and they're gonna get too drunk. Like me last night, I went to Looney's trivia. We lost so bad.
What were some of the...
I was with the philosophical debate club. I thought they would know things.
Oh.
We lost everything. We were not even in like the top 20.
Were they like, what kind of questions were they?
What is the chemical element with the atomic number 13?
Oh my God. Okay, oxygen is 8.
Yes.
See, this is good. We didn't see what major we were on before we got on.
Yeah, here. Well,
none of us are STEM.
I'll cut to it because I didn't remember it either. But we had a chemistry major with us.
Oh.
And he said, like, indium or something like that. It was aluminum. He should know that. It's number 13. It's not even that high.
Yeah.
If they were asking, like, what...
Like 123 or something.
If they were asking what, like, curium was and he got that wrong, I'd be like, that's fine. But, like, this is, like, forgetting...
Chemistry major, that's, like...
This is, like, forgetting what letter comes after D, you know?
Yeah, if you wake him up at 3 a.m., he should kind of know that.
I mean, oh, my God. It was embarrassing.
New team. You need a new team.
I do need a new team. If you have a Looney's trivia team, I will join it. I'm an expert in authors. And state capitals. I did get the state capital question right.
I'm good at state capitals.
You're good at state capitals too?
Ask me something about...
All right, what's the capital of North Dakota?
Bismarck.
Oh, what's the capital of South Dakota?
Pierre.
Oh, okay. Oh, were you on the Sporkle back in the day?
I was a chronic Sporkler.
Oh my God. I was doing that like last week. I was
it's crazy. And some of those states, like, you'd never guess. Like,
right.
Like New York, it's not New York City.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. What always got me was I would never remember the capital of Maine because no one goes there.
Augusta, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was confusing that one with the capital of Montana, which is Helena. There's just two, like, names that people don't give anyone anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But, I won't be state capitals for that one, but I can do book authors. I don't read books, but I just know the last names of authors for a lot of books for some reason. So, you know, if you need an extra member on your team for those two very niche questions, let me know.
And all the business stuff, too.
And the business stuff. Right, you're also a business major.
Accounting.
You're accounting, which, I mean, that is criminal.
Yeah,
that is disgusting.
I got some hate on that.
That's disgusting. I don't...
Every person I talk to, they're not a fan of... I feel like...
No, because I was an accounting major.
Oh, you were?
For a semester.
And you switched to finance?
I switched to finance and OMBA because accounting is just like...
340 made me hate finance.
340? Who'd you have?
Patty.
You had Patty. Ah, I like Patty.
No,
you know who I have right now? So there are like three main 340 professors.
Yeah.
There's Patty, there's O'Brien, and there's Santosh.
Yeah.
Patty, I will say, like, the best person to take 340 out of all of them.
Mm.
Like, O'Brien and Santosh, smartest guys ever, though.
Yeah.
They are so rough. They are so rough. Oh, my God. I have them both right now. It's like, you know, they're very, like, experts in their craft.
That's good. Patty's just like, what he liked to do, he liked to talk about things and then remember that he's also like teaching the class.
He gets carried away
a lot.
And
he's like, all right, back to the topic. Yeah. And then he would just like, it's like, nobody was stopping
that is
when you were
so
talking
true.
About investments for 10 hours.
Oh,
and then you woke
gosh.
Up and you're like, oh my God, you guys, wait, you have your exam in like a
Who
day.
Did you have for business law?
I'm taking it next semester.
With who? Do you remember? Raina?
Not Raina.
I had Raina on the show. That was pretty fun.
It was a woman. Don't remember her name. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Next
all right.
Time
yeah.
You have me on.
Yeah. I'll you know, if you want to come on, we'll talk about. We'll talk about business news. We'll talk about our favorite movies again. You know.
Let's do it. I'll brush up on it. And you yeah. You, we said the drama.
The drama. You've got to watch that.
All right. I'll watch the drama. You watch The Sinners.
I do really need to watch Sinners. It's
we'll come back. We'll have
okay.
A nice yeah.
Yes, Leonard. Thank you for being on. I kept you a little too late. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you, man. I did not know Leonard before this. Yeah. We became best friends right here, guys.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Wasn't paid.
I wasn't. Leonard wasn't paid, but I do have a gun to his head right now.
Yes.
And if he doesn't say, follow Moral Hazard on @MoralHazardShow on Instagram, I will pull the trigger. He's dead.
Follow the Moral Hazard right now.
Don't say the whole thing.
Host.
@MoralHazardShow. Say it. Come on.
@MoralHazardShow. Follow it right now.
All right.
Very, very cool.
Thank you.
Very
all right.
Cool guest.
Yes.
Very cool. Sorry.
Very cool. Yes. No. Very cool guest.
No,
thank
no,
you,
no,
Leonard.
Not cool guest. Sorry. Cool host.
Yes.
Best host ever.
Oh, thank you. The best Moral Hazard show host ever.
Literally.
You heard that, Emma? You heard that, Emma? I'm the best host. Okay.
Get this man a nameplate.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for coming on, Leonard. It really means a lot. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Yeah. You can just walk out. I can't walk you out. I gotta be here.
Yeah.
No. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Do you need us to come back again?
Absolutely.
On.
Well, you know, for the extra drama. All right.
Nice
I'll see you.
Take care.
That was Leonard Fohman of the SGA, head election commissioner of University of Maryland's SGA, discussing the disqualifications of Justice UMD, Roel Terps, and the future of the SGA election, and also what his favorite movies are. You know, we do real news here. All right. And in the spirit of doing real news, I'm going to talk about. Oh, what should I talk about? We want to talk about Alex Cooper and Alex Earl. I was going to talk about Spirit Airlines, but I don't think we have time for that. I really want to talk about Alex Cooper and Alex Earl. Alex Cooper, for those of you who don't know, you know, friend of the show, not a fan, but friend of the show, Alex Cooper, is the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast, where they interview such esteemed influencers such as Kamala Harris. Failed politician Kamala Harris. Alex Cooper is being hated on. I've got a Bloomberg article right here. You want me to read the title? I'm going to get mad because people don't know this. If Alex Cooper has zero fans, then I am dead. Okay? Bloomberg. Headline, Alex Cooper, husband, skip team meeting after behavior complaint. All right, they changed the title of it. But basically, Bloomberg is libeling esteemed media conglomerate head, Alex Cooper, over her perceived wrongdoings. Bloomberg is doing libelous reporting. This is not journalistic integrity. When I had Leonard on just now to talk about what his favorite movies are, that was journalistic integrity. This from Bloomberg accusing Alex Cooper of being the worst thing an American can be, and that is a bad CEO. Well, I spit at that. Hot Tua. I spit at that. I wouldn't use Bloomberg as toilet paper. I wouldn't use that rag as toilet paper for what they're doing to Alex Cooper. They're calling her a bad CEO. That is the worst thing you can be in this current event. When you're a bad CEO, Luigi Mangione shoots you. They throw acid at your face. That is like the scarlet letter in the 21st century America as being a bad CEO. And I feel for Alex Cooper. I feel for her. It feels like, I feel like I open the calendar and instead of saying, April 23rd, 2026, the Salem witch trials, whenever that was. This is like opening up and it's like, oh, McCarthyism. Oh, we're back in the Cold War. What? I open the calendar. It says McCarthyism on it instead of the date. All right? It's like Joseph McCarthy himself is policing the podcast. Can a girl talk? And I want to get in front of this. I want to get in front of everything that's going on right now because Alex Cooper made Call Her Daddy. She made the greatest podcast in the world. It's a hit podcast. They had Kamala Harris on. What else could you ask for? You know how many podcasts Kamala Harris went on for her election cycle? One. She went on one podcast and it was Call Her Daddy in 2024. That is how important Call Her Daddy, I think she went into others, but like Call Her Daddy was the biggest one. It was the only good one. All right? they are hating on Alex Cooper because she fired Alex Earle. Another Alex. Don't get confused. Alex Earle is a different, lesser influencer than Alex Cooper. Lesser podcaster. And Alex Cooper had her on, like, her network, and then she fired her. The Alex Cooper's, like, what do you call it? Network. It's called Unwell. And I feel unwell right now because of what I'm seeing my glorious America turn into. A game of finger-pointing and scarlet letters and evil and demons and evil. Mob rule is what's happening right now. Everyone's saying, oh, I'm on Team Earl. I'm on Team Earl. Alex Cooper is a fascist. Alex Cooper. I bite my thumb at thee. I don't, sorry, I don't know. I've literally never read, I read Hamlet in like middle school and I skimmed it, but I do remember Bite My Thumb at Thee. Nope, that wasn't Hamlet, that was Romeo and Juliet. So I didn't, I was supposed to read both of them, I didn't read either. But I do bite my thumb. They're hating on Alex Cooper because she is a girl with a podcast. They're hating on Alex Cooper because she is a girl with a podcast. They're hating on her because she is true to herself and because she wants to create something for herself in this cold, harsh landscape that is America. She wants her hit podcast. Why can Joe Rogan have the podcast? Why can Adam Friedland have the podcast? Why can Hassan Piker, fascist Hassan Piker, communist Hassan Piker, have his live podcast, which is like even more power? Why can he have it, and then Alex Cooper can't? Everyone's hating on Alex Cooper. They're not hating on Hassan Piker because he smites his dog and is handsome. What is the world coming to? They're hating on Alex Cooper because she is a woman and because she is a girl boss. They're hating on her because her husband is abusive to the staff and nothing is being done about it. But it's that's besides the point. It's mostly because she is a woman with the business. Alex Earle, that misogynist, believes that Alex Cooper should be gone because she's a woman. I might be the only feminist left because I believe that Alex Cooper and her husband should reign against Alex Earle and the rest of the women complaining about the working conditions at her company. And, I mean, what's the world coming to? Everyone's talking about Alex Earle. That's the wrong Alex you should be worried about. There's another, well, I mean, look, another Alex is also being oppressed. And that's Alex Jones. Some of you may know Alex Jones for being the front man for InfoWars. I mean, you know, he's being oppressed by the woke. Alex Jones, I'll be the first to say it. I'll be the first to say it. This is an original sentence here at WMUC, and I'll say it right now. Alex Jones is being oppressed by the woke. Unique sentence, only 8 words. Alex Jones InfoWars is the MacGuffin of a major court custody battle spearheaded by none other than The Onion. You may know Onion as this very real, reputable news organization like Moral Hazard. They cover events in good faith and with journalistic integrity. However, The Onion is taking things a step too far by shooting for control of the more reputable and the more journalistic integrity InfoWars. Alex Jones's baby. They're fighting over Alex Jones's baby. And I want to tell you how reputable InfoWars is. I use InfoWars every single day. When I host Moral Hazard, there are 3 news sources that I pull from. That is Bloomberg, that is Wall Street Journal, and that is InfoWars. I use InfoWars every single day for, I mean, everything. I use it for the weather. I use it for pop culture. I use it for 9/11. That's, you know, the most reputable source. And actually, you know what? Let's read some InfoWars right now. Because I'm breaking the kayfabe. This week, I went on InfoWars' website. I literally have probably been on it once before. I went on it because I saw the news about The Onion. I was like, did they already get... Because I thought they had gotten custody of it already. And they were already, like, changing it up, doing their thing. And so I went on InfoWars. And I looked at the front page, and I genuinely interpreted the front page as evidence that The Onion had already acquired it, because I was like, there's no way people are actually writing these articles. Let me read you something on their front page right now, InfoWars.com, something on their front page. This is the headline, and I am quoting directly. It is this long. Vital intel. The globalists are secretly preparing for a planetary collapse of the Earth's magnetic fields that will lead to a massive extinction event in the near future, warns respected scientist Dr. Jack Crusay. And like the photo, like the banner photo for this news article is an AI generated image where, and it says Earth turns into Mars ? And so like when I saw this, I really like I thought in my heart of hearts that InfoWars had already been taken over by the Onion, because I am a sheltered individual. I'm a sheltered individual. I don't know how other people get their information. I am a Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal fanatic. I read them every day. I play their little games. I also play the New York Times games, but I don't read New York Times because that's a lib rag. I read Wall Street Journal when I want to feel anger, all right? When I want to feel anger, I go to Wall Street Journal and open the opinion column. When I want to learn something, I go to Bloomberg. And when I want something to talk about on my radio show that I still need 10 minutes more of content on, I go to, InfoWars. And so, they are claiming on their front page that the globalists, which I don't even know what that means, are trying to destroy the Earth's magnetic fields to turn it into Mars. The first thing. Why would a globalist want to turn the Earth into Mars? And this is an open question. If anyone knows, can explain it to my, you know, stupid little brain, please call in. All right? I'm still a bit confused as to that. In all seriousness, the Onion is fighting for custody of the InfoWars channel after, you know, a lawsuit over the Sandy Hook shooting, over misinformation perpetrated by InfoWars over the Sandy Hook shooting, led to a lawsuit that effectively destroyed the company. The penalty was too great. InfoWars didn't have the money. So now the Onion's trying to buy out the website from under them to settle the claim of the victims. And that's not real news. I'm still in SGA interview mode. I want to talk about real things. We talked to Leonard. Leonard Fohman was on here. He's the SGA head election commissioner. We were talking about movies. We were talking about TV shows. He likes Modern Family, and he likes Big Bang Theory. Look, Leonard, thank you for coming on. I really let you off easy when you said you like Big Bang Theory. I should have smited you then and there. I should have lost all journalistic integrity and got into a shouting match, because in all seriousness, Big Bang Theory is one of the least funny shows I've ever seen in my life. I used to watch that in middle school when I was stupid. When I was 12 years old in middle school and I had the brain of a walnut, I was watching Big Bang Theory and I still didn't think it was that funny. I just wanted to feel smart, all right? And I genuinely don't think, all right, I'm going to be real, This is not a personal attack at Leonard. I think the only people that actually like Big Bang Theory just watch it because it makes them feel smart. It's like Rick and Morty, right? Like, Rick and Morty is a little fun. It's not that funny. You know, you watch it because they talk about science on it, right? Sheldon gets on, he goes, bazinga. And then the laugh track laughs, and you clap like a seal at your on your cable TV eating your TV dinner, right? Like, it makes you feel smart. I can't do that. I like things that make me feel dumb. I like watching the dumbest things known to man, unless it's movies. Movies are the only time where I watch things that are highbrow, performative. Let's go with performative. Pretentious. There we go. That's the word. If I'm watching TV, I'm watching Smiling Friends. I'm watching a guy disintegrate, a little cartoon disintegrate. I want to get back into watching Phineas and Ferb. That was really big for me back as a kid. I love that one song by Baljeet about I Just Want to Get an A. Love that. The Phineas and Ferb songs, incredible. Teen Titans Go, so funny. And so dumb. I love the dumb, man. I like Shane Gillis's Tires. Now that was some dumb comedy that I could get behind. Their new season, little too smart for me. You know, the plot kind of started to exist. I was not really that interested. I just kind of wanted to watch dumb guys do things. Trailer Park Boys. Oh, Trailer Park Boys. Now that's a guy. You know, And that's what you people should watch, all right? You sit down, you have a long day, you sit down, you watch some TV, you're not watching Big Bang Theory, man. That you're not, no. I mean, that's slop. That's slop. Look, if it's on YouTube Shorts, I don't want it, okay? If I see clips of your show on YouTube Shorts with 100,000 likes, I don't want it. I don't want it. Justin saying I gotta get on Baki. What is Justin, hold on, I'm calling you, Justin. Guys, we're doing call-ins again. Justin!
Hello.
What is Baki? Is that like an anime? It sounds like an anime.
Yeah, it's an anime. So basically, it's like this anime based off of just pure power scaling.
Uh-huh. And, that's, you know, like when you're just like, who is stronger?
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah,
random, so it's guy?
It's just like strong slop, and then they'll like bring in like this... Like they literally, in one of the episodes, they unfroze like a caveman, and then like they fought him. For
what?
Like 5 episodes straight. Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Oh man. Okay, so I used to watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure in high school. And that sounds exactly like what happens in Baki, where it's just like a random like god gets summoned and you have to fight him for the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But no stands, and it's even more ridiculous.
Justin, were you listening for the interview with Leonard?
No, I was actually listening to Radiohead, and then I, like, 10:30, I realized, oh, man, like...
And then he was already gone. We were talking about, like, TV or something by that time.
Yeah.
Look, well, you know, I won't ask you to comment on whatever Leonard said, but how much do you care about who is the SGA president?
Not too much, I must admit.
Well, I think that's the common sentiment. I really can't get people to care about what's going on, and I feel like I shouldn't either. You know?
Well, I mean, I think it's, like, important, because, like, it's kind of, like, mock.
Is it?
It's kind of like a...
Is it?
No, it's kind of like, you know, it builds, like, your... Like, once you get out there, you know, past UMD, you also will hopefully care about your local community, like government as well, and that's important.
Yeah, but like SGA to me just kind of seems like a thing for resumes, you know? Like, I mean, what do you even do? Like, I remember in high school SGA, they didn't do anything. It was just a resume pad, right? Is it the same thing? Is it just like, yeah, I want to be a Truman Scholar, so I'm going to be the SGA president?
Something like that.
All right. I mean, well, you're just a freshman.
Public policy majors can go have it and eventually go work on Capitol Hill and lobby for big oil or something.
Well, I mean, look, if that's the end, then I absolutely support the means.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Well, yeah, thank you, Justin, for contributing as always. Glad I can cold call you with 3 minutes left. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Steven.
Peace. Yeah, well, I think we're about wrapping up. I didn't get to talk about any real news. Meta's laying off 8,000 people. They're closing 6,000 open roles because they're so good with money. In March, they cut 1,000 jobs. They just keep cutting jobs because they're just too good. They're just so efficient with their AI spending, and their AI models that they release are just so good. Right? Like Llama 4. Oh my god, banger. This new one, Meta Spark. I mean, everyone's raving about that thing. I mean, everyone's moving to Meta. Everyone's ditching their Claude subscriptions, everyone's ditching their ChatGPT subscriptions, and they're going to Meta. That's what everyone's saying right now. I hope Meta like crashes and burns, because I don't understand what, like, how cold hell would have to get for Meta to like walk out of this unscathed. Additionally, the U.S. government is weighing a bailout of Spirit Airlines. This is great. I love when the U.S. government bails out shareholders who put in management that don't properly serve as stewards for a company. I love when the U.S. government bails out everything, you know? To be fair, it doesn't even seem like airlines can exist as private entities, despite all the government, all the taxpayer dollars that prop up air traffic control, airports, TSA, like everything. Everything on airports is, everything regarding air travel is publicly owned, except for the airlines, which is crazy to me because they still can't make money. Like, at that point, maybe the U.S. government should just own the airlines, like, in the same way that they own Amtrak, or like the USPS, or like libraries, or like parks and metros and highways. You know, it's a need, But it seems like private industry can't do it for money. Anyways, that's the end of Moral Hazard on WC 90.5 FM. Yeah, I hope you guys have a good night. Thank you again to Leonard for coming on. Leonard Fohman, SGA head SGA Elections Committee head commissioner. I, you know, really thank you to everyone. I hope you guys learned a little something, or maybe not, but, you know, have a good night. Here's a PSA on don't drunk drive.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league.